Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
Get it? The Bird Show.
All right, comedian Andrew Stanley in studio with us this morning. That name is going to ring a bell to you guys. Hey, Andrew.
How's it going? Thanks for having me.
Good, man. Thanks for coming in. If you grew up in Atlanta or you're around Atlanta, you know the name Andy Stanley. And I have always been really curious about the sons and daughters that end up in the same industry as sort of their Hall of Fame fathers or mothers. It almost seems like a losing proposition because Andy Stanley is like a Hall of Famer here and in the country.
Yeah, I think it's hard to do what your dad does if your dad's like the best at it.
Yeah. So, it really is.
That's not a great situation. I think if he were a comedian, I'd probably be a preacher. I'd really be like, whatever the inverse of it is. But it's so similar, too. Like, it's really just like a more fun version of preaching to me. It's like.
And are you even sick of those connections yet?
Yeah, I'm working on my SEO presence online. if people try to Google me, I think he still comes up. Stand up, no one's laughing because of who your dad is. Once I'm on stage, if I'm making them laugh, that's because of what we're doing in this room.
For those that don't know, Andy Stanley is a pastor at North Point Ministries. He is the senior pastor and one of the greatest communicators I have ever seen. So I'm wondering, was that going to be part of your path? Because his dad was a pastor also. Was that your path?
My whole life, people ask me, are you going to follow in the family business? I always say the pressure was never coming from inside the house. Got a finance degree. My dad was helping me get finance internships and stuff. And he's, whatever you guys want to do, we'll help you. And he goes, this isn't for everybody. Part of it is I just never liked public speaking at all.
Really?
It was never on the radar at all. I was never even like thinking I could be on stage. And then the stand-up thing kind of happened after I'd been in finance for a few years.
How does one go from finance to comedy?
I would do my day job in the cubicle all day and then go to the open mics at night. That was kind of my rhythm for a long time.
Did you know like, oh, this is my home? Or were you terrified? Did you tank?
Terrified. Open mic at Laughing Skull Lounge, which is now like my home away from home, but at the time was like...
That's the one in the vortex, right?
But yeah, you pass a big penis statue to walk in there.
You go through a giant skull mouth.
Yeah, it's like, it was not my vibe.
But, you're like, God, please forgive me for walking through these doors.
Yeah, they sat me right next to that thing the first time I ate it. Exactly. It gotta be another seat in there, bro. Yeah,
penis statue.
So you get up there, or as you're walking on stage, are you like ready to puke? What is that like?
I don't even really remember it. I didn't black out, but it almost was like my brain blacked out. Afterwards, I remember feeling like, okay, that didn't go horrible, but I need to do it again because I got some stuff mixed up.
I feel like for most comedians, that's always like a thing. Like that first show, you get it out the way, and then at that point, you kind of know, like, this is what I was meant to do, or you never want to do it again. Did you have that pivot moment?
Nothing in me was like, I'm doing this so I can become a stand-up comedian. It was like, I'm doing this because I think it'll be good for me and I kind of want to be a writer and this will help me kind of get those juices flowing. I did it and I remember I was like, oh, I could have done better than that. Like, my jokes are better than the way I told them. So I want to do it again and at least have done it once the way that like I meant to do it. And then you start meeting comedians and you learn, oh, there's shows all over town and it kind of becomes your community. And all of a sudden you're doing it every night and you're like, I think this is actually what I want to do. But that first time you do really well, I can remember the feeling after that and being like, I didn't say, oh, this is going to be my job. But I did say, I'll do this forever. Even if I have to have another job, I think that this will be a part of what I look forward to for the rest of my life.
You do it for free.
Yeah, of course. You have to. Yeah. I mean, most people do it for free the first 5 years.
For sure.
They're doing it.
Well, you've come a long way from that to selling out shows now, opening for Nate Bargatze also. Don't you have like a tie-in with him?
Yeah, I've gotten to work with Nate on some stuff, which is really cool. And the cool thing about stand-up, and Mo, you know this, like it's a pretty small community relatively. And it's cool because even when you're new, you kind of get the chance to meet people at the top
pretty quickly.
Because they all need openers, and especially if you're clean. I've learned that even dirty comedians want clean openers.
Yeah.
I've got some cool opportunities. Like I got to open for David Spade because he wanted a clean opener and Mark Maron, and it's really, really fun.
I guess it's easier now because we're always asking Mo, like we're living in this politically correct world now. Is it difficult to constantly cultivate clean material that gets laughed?
I always say it's kind of like you just got to be authentic, and if you're authentically not clean, like if you want to write about other stuff, write about other stuff. but I'm kind of wired to be a little cleaner, yeah. So it comes a little more naturally to me, and I kind of automatically filter some stuff out. I've certainly written jokes where I'm just like, where did that come from? I can't tell that.
How much of your personal life is on stage?
Pretty much all personal life.
Yeah.
It's
so you
not
talk about that lovely wife of yours?
Lots of marriage stuff. Yeah, that's one of the main reasons I did that. I got married for the material. And then
it gives you good material,
when
man.
When we start having kids, you'll know that I ran out of marriage material.
Got it.
But yeah, lots of stuff every day. I talk about growing up as a homeschooled preacher's kid, talk about being married, talk about just, you know, story, a lot of stories.
Homeschool preacher's kid. What was that house like?
Yeah, we didn't. It was not, a lot of books.
It sounds thrilling, Andrew.
Yeah, it's a. You know, I've gotten to perform at a bunch of homeschool conventions now.
Are you serious?
Because I'm known as like, oh, that's the comedian that was homeschooled. Let's get him in here. And I'm like, oh, these 5,000 homeschool moms might not love my stance on what they've chosen for their kids' education, but it's crazy. I would go do these conventions, and they have. It's thousands of homeschool moms, and then they have all these booths set up of like vendors trying to sell stuff to the homeschool moms, and now they have a virtual reality college. It looked like an SNL skit. I walked by this booth, and this big poster of this like homeschooled looking kid.
Want to know what that looks like?
I can say that. You guys can't say that. And he's got virtual reality goggles on, and he has like a piece of paper, and he's like writing on it. And I was just like, oh, this is perfect. We've completed the stay at home cycle. You can have a home birth. Uh-huh. And then you can be homeschooled,
yeah.
And then you can go to college from home.
Yeah.
And then you can get especially now, you can get a job where you work remotely. Yeah. You never have to meet anybody your whole life.
Yeah.
Have Instacart, DoorDash, bring everything to your door.
You never have to leave.
Literally.
You don't ever have to step foot outside anymore.
You never have to be exposed to any of those nasty PG-13 things going on in the world.
Now, I'm curious, you talked about marriage, and you said, like, when you have kids, that's how we'll know you're out of marriage material. So... having experienced it, would you or would you not homeschool your own kids?
People ask me that a lot.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. The truth is my mom was great. I became a stand-up comedian, which you would think indicates a failure of a homeschool mom. But my sister and my brother are doing great. It depends on who's doing the teaching. It's just like a school. Like, it depends on, like, some schools are great, some schools are not. It depends on who the teachers are. And more people are homeschooling than ever. It's crazy. It's like, it's the biggest alumni network in the world. We just don't know how to meet each other.
Right. I feel like the bread and butter for most comedians is like your upbringing and your childhood. You speak about it a lot. Does it make it easier for you or harder for you considering your family history?
I think especially starting out easier because I felt like I had this thing I could talk about that was unique to me.
It's a niche.
That's the hardest thing in stand-up at first, that is finding your voice and figuring like, all right, what am I supposed to be talking about? Because everybody's talking about everything. What can I talk about that no one else can talk about, or at least less people are talking about? And for me, I mean, my first jokes I did on stage were about being homeschooled, and I still tell some versions of those. And it definitely gave me a direction early on, which was super helpful.
Some of the shows are sold out already, right?
We're doing my special taping at Buckhead Theater on February 1st and now January 31st. As soon as we announced that and we sold out the first two shows pretty fast, I went to just do like a local show, and my friend, comedian named Mandel in Atlanta, I walked up and he just looks at me and he goes, man, this is the first time I've ever seen a comedian's wife actually help their career. I was like, what do you mean? He goes, I know you didn't decide to do the Buckhead Theater for your special taping. I was like, you're right. I was going to do it at probably some 100-seat room and be scared I couldn't sell tickets. And my wife was just like, no, you can do Buckhead Theater. People are going to come. So we sold out two shows. We added a third one now that's on sale for January 31st.
That's
so
fantastic, man. Congrats.
Thank you so much.
Where can people get tickets for this?
AndrewStanleyComedy.com. We got links to all that stuff. I've learned the hometown comes out to support, and I got to... My goal for the special is for it to come out to where I can start doing these type of shows in other cities, because I got a lot of support here and I've been traveling around doing a lot of private events in these other cities, but I'm ready to start touring and making it to where everybody can come see me all over.
Plus, you got Jesus on your side.
That's right.
Jesus, of course.
Don't want to hire him.
No. Good for sales.
All right. Thank you very much, Andrew Stanley, joining us at the Burt Show this morning.
Thank you guys for having me.
Thank you. I appreciate you.
Get it. The Burt Show.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.